This is a Chazar Shir for the Halacha Yomit Learning Group, as a Refuah Shlema for Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Batya. We're beginning with Shulchan Aruch Siman Chaf Vav. Sif Aleph, Imein Lo'ela Tefila Achas Minyecho Tashi Yeshul Mevarach Alea, Shekolachas Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma, if you only have one Tefila, one of the two Tefillin, you put it on, you make a Bracha, because each one is an independent Mitzvah. If you only have one, you should do at least that which you have. And so too, if you have both, but for whatever reason you cannot put on both for some strange reason, then you should at least put on that which you can. With a bracha, the Mishnah Berurah is interested, what if you could only put on one? Doesn't matter which one, but you have the option of putting on one. He says there are two opinions. One opinion says, well, the Shel Rosh has more Kedusha, and therefore you should put that on. The other opinion says we should put on the Shel Yad, because that one always comes first, and he leaves it as a machlokas. Sif Beis, Imeinu Maniach Ela Shel Rosh Levad Mevarech Ela Al Mitzvahs Tefillin Levad. Shulchan Aruch writes that if you only put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, you make the Bracha Al Mitzvahs Tefillin. Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, you never make the Bracha Al Mitzvahs Tefillin unless you speak, or you're not putting on the Tefillin Shel Yad. And therefore, because he only has one Bracha Ela Haniach, and that goes on both. So if you're just putting on the Shel Rosh, you make the Bracha of only Al Mitzvahs Tefillin. Rabba points out for Ashkenazim, we'll always make two brachos on tefillin, on lahaniach, on the shel yad, and al mitzvahs on the shel rosh. He wrote earlier that really, both brachos go on the shel rosh lahaniach and al mitzvahs. So he says if you put on the shel rosh alone, you need to make both brachos lahaniach and al mitzvahs. But if you put on just the shel rosh, you make the bracha al mitzvahs. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim, who says that even if you put on just the Shel Yad, you should also say Lahaniach and Al Mitzvahs, because technically speaking, Ashkenazim always make two brachos. It's just that they say one before Lahaniach and one before Al Mitzvahs. He says others, he says Lahalacha, people that disagreed with, that is not the Halacha Lemaise, for a number of reasons. The first of which, many poskim write, according to the Rambam, that Lahaniach goes on both and not the bracha, and he says, therefore, that should be the din. Moving on to Siman Chaf Zayin, Mekomen Achasan Veofen Anachasan, Sif Aleph. Mekomen Achasan Shel Yad Bezroa Smol, the Shel Yad should go on the left arm, but Basar HaTafuach Sheba'etzem Shebena Kovado Beis HaShechi, on the elevated piece of flesh, meaning the muscle, on Sheba'etzem, on the arm, bone, between the elbow and the armpit. Should be tilted somewhat in, such that when you straighten your arm down, they're facing the heart, and therefore you have you can have a kiyum of al levavecha on your heart, meaning facing your heart. Why should it be on the left hand? Because one time when it talks about tefillin, it says yadecha yud dalad chaf hey, and the Gemara learns out yad keha, your weaker hand, and therefore it needs to go on your weaker hand. The Rama adds on v'tzarch laniach b'rosh ha'etzim ha'samuch lakovado. It needs to go on the lower part of the arm, between the middle of the bicep and the elbow, but not on the other side. There, Mishnah Berurah points out the Ramah is not disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch himself holds that, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Ramah, it has to go on the lower part of the arm. The Mishnah Berurah points out a number of places, therefore you have to be careful not to have tefillin that are too big, because if they're too big, they could go over the halfway mark, and that would be a problem. This is a particular issue with sometimes with bar mitzvah boys who get large tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the Gra disagrees. The Gra thinks the whole arm is kosher for anachas tefillin, but he recommends following the other opinion. Siv Beis. The Ramah continues, Gidim she'en lo yad, rak zroya niach below bracha, a person who is missing an arm, so he can put on tefillin. It depends on what part of the arm he's missing. So long as he has a left arm, he can put on tefillin on that part, but without a bracha. If he's missing an arm completely, he is putter from tefillin and doesn't need to put it on at all. Sif Beis, Haminah ganachon she'a yud shel kesher tefillah shel yad letzad ha'lev ve'a tefillah letzad chutz. The tefillin shel yad has a yud. The end of the ritzua is knotted into a yud. That should be facing the body, and the tefillin itself should be facing out. And he says, "Yesh lehizar shel tozuz yud shel kesher matfilah." A person should be careful that the yud of the kesher, doesn't move away from the bite. It should be close. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the Gra thinks that the fact that the yud should be on the inside facing the body is actually a din of the Gemara. It's not just haminah ganachon, which makes it nafkamina in a few minutes. He also, the Mishnah Berurah also here is machmir, that not only should the yud be as close as possible to the bias, to the katsita of the tefillin, but so should the knot on the other side. There's a loop that goes through the tefillin, through the ma'abarta, and then the ritzua goes through that loop, and that's where we tighten it. He says that loop that extends on someone who's right-handed, so they're putting the tefillin on their left, the loop that extends to the left outside of the bias should also be as small as possible, just to pass the loop through. just to pass the ritzua through and to tighten. This is sometimes an issue that those loops are very large, and the Mishnah Berurah here is machmir that the person should try to make those as small as possible. Regarding the fact that the yud should be as close to the bias as possible to the ktsitsa, the Mishnah Berurah writes the Tzar is very machmir on this. And takes this very seriously. He says, and even when the tefillin are put away in the bag, they also should, person should be makbid, that the yud should be as close as possible, touching, in fact, to the bais. He says, therefore, there are those who tie a gid or some other string to keep the yud to the bais, and the Mishnah Berurah thinks this is an issue because in doing so, it causes a chatzitza, because then they're going to tie it in such a way that it goes under the tefillin, and then that string is going to be chotzeitz between the arm and the tefillin. This is somewhat, I don't understand perhaps, because the way I've seen it, maybe to avoid this problem, the Mishnah Berurah people do it around, and so there is no problem at all of chatzitza, because it's going around the box itself and not between the arm and the tefillin. The Ben Ish Chai, in fact, quotes that the practice is to take the ritzua and wrap the ritzua around the bias itself, such that the yud stays as touching to the ktsitsa, touches the ktsitsa, both when wearing the tefillin as well as when putting it away, that it should always be touching. Sif Gimel, Amin HaGanachon L'Takan Shem Ma'abarta Shem Ba'Ritzua Veretz Him Munachas L'Tzad HaKotev V'Aktsitsa L'Tzad HaYad, when you put it on the tefillin, the Ma'abarta, where the Ritzua goes through, should be towards the shoulder, and the ktsitsa, where the parashiyos are, should be lower down. If a person is a right-handed person putting on tefillin on the left, and a lefty who needs to put tefillin on the right arm, and all he has is right-handed tefillin, meaning tefillin that goes on the left arm, but he needs to put it on his right arm. We'll discuss who has to do that soon. So what should he do? He has two options. He can put on the left, we'll call it the tefillin that goes on the left hand. If he puts it on his right hand, he has two options. If he puts it directly on the left hand with the ma'abarta towards the shoulder, then the yud will be facing out. Alternatively, he can turn the tefillin around such that the ma'abarta will be facing the elbow, but the yud will stay in. Which is preferable? The Bir Halacha writes, it's clearly preferable to have the ma'abarta facing the elbow, to flip it over such that yud will be inside, particularly because the Gruff thinks this is the din, this is medina digmar, that the yud has to be facing the body. That is certainly preferable to the minag anachon to have the ma'abarta facing the shoulder in such a case. There can't be any chatzitza between the tefillin and a person's body. Lo shna shal yad, lo shna shal rosh, whether it's shal yad or shal rosh. Mishnah Berurah says not at all, nothing at all, not even dried, not even dead lice. Person should be careful, and certainly not any dirt, and that could be a problem. He also quotes Machzor Shekel. He says it's a terrible thing when people have long hair and they roll, then they put their hair back such that the it's not just the hair that's growing there, but there's hair that extends farther back, and then they fold it back under the tefillin shel rosh. That in theory could be also a problem of a chatzitza, because they are very long. Okay. The Rama writes v'dafka betefillin. This is just the problem of the bottom itself, but by the ritzuos, it's not so much of an issue. The Mishnah Berurah said we should be machmir by the ritzuos, those part that goes around the head, that there shouldn't be any chatzitza, the one that actually holds the head in place, and that which goes around the arm to hold the shel yad in place. But the ones that we wrap around our arms or around our fingers, there is less of an issue of chatzitza. And therefore, there are those who are makel about wearing a watch. A person wants to put a tefillin around the watch, it shouldn't be an issue, because that's a chatzitza only b'makom akricho, so not b'makom that it's tying the tefillin down. For those who want to be lenient, he says it's an issue of putting a tefillin shel rosh on top of a toupee or on top of a wig, because that would be a chatzitza between the tefillin shel rosh and the body. Hey, adam shun adul nezilot. Somebody who has some illness, that if he has to put tefillin on his body for some reason, he will get sick and he won't be able to put on tefillin at all. So he's allowed to cover his head with something and put the tefillin on top of that. And he should cover it so people shouldn't see that, because they might not know that that's a din and think it's a chatzitza. The Rama adds on, "Daminichim derech zel lo yavarach al shel rosh rakir varach al shel yad lahaniach." Person who puts it on should not make a bracha. Although the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, according to the Rashba, there is no issue of chatzitza on the shel rosh, so at least we should put it on because maybe the Rashba thinks that it's the proper way to do it. But since most of the Rishonim disagree, we will not make a bracha on that fila shel rosh. Certainly, according to the Ashkenazim, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's only a bracha lahaniach anyway, and so it's not an issue. He said the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Shulchan Aruch says kovadak, a thin garment. He says why? Because if it's thicker, you will not be able to put it into the right place. So seemingly, that's the issue. It's not an issue of feeling the tefillin on the head. It's putting it into the right place, and that should be that should guide us how the where to do it and how thick it should be. Sif vav v'iter yadimino. Someone who's a lefty. So now, what does that mean to be a lefty? If he does everything with his left hand, so then Meniach b'smol sheyamin shel kol adam. Mishnah put his tefillin on his right hand because he does everything with his right hand. That's called his weaker hand. Mishnah points out, and if he puts his tefillin on the left hand, so he's not yotze. However, vim sholit b'shtei yadav. Let's say he could use both hands. Meniach b'smol kol adam. If he could use both, then he should go left, which is the more common practice. Now, vim kodev b'yamino ushar kol ma'asav osev b'smol. But if he writes with his right hand, he does everything else. He's a lefty. Oh, kodev b'smol ushar kol ma'asav osev yamin. Or he writes with his left hand, but everything else he does with his right. So then what do we follow? Do we follow rov ma'asav, most of what he does? Or do we follow writing? Mishnah Berurah, now why should it be writing? Because it says kshira and ksiva in the parsha together. So maybe kshira and ksiva should go together. Writing has a higher ma'ala here, because it's related to the fact of kshira, and they're both done with the same hand. So yesh amrim sheniach tefillin b'yad shetashkocho. Some say you should use the hand that does most of the things is considered to be the stronger hand, and should go on the other side. And there are those who say no, it should follow the writing. The only part that's important is the writing, again based on the pasuk that they go together. That we follow writing. I heard from Rav Shechter that because this is a machlogas, that a person should in fact have two sets of tefillin and put them on both arms. Two sets in order to be yotze that which we said before, that the yud should be facing the body and that the ma'abarta should be facing the shoulder, because you need to have two different sets of tefillin in order to accomplish this. Sif Zayin. If a person has an injury in the makom anachas tefillin, he should still try to put it on. The Gemara says there's a place on the arm to put both pairs of tefillin. From the whole bottom of the arm, the whole bottom portion of the arm, from the middle of the bicep until the elbow, is makom anachas tefillin. Which is hard to imagine a little bit with the size of our tefillin that we have currently. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that you have to be very careful that it shouldn't go above the top. However, if the makom is so widespread that he can't put tefillin on, he says he can rely on putting the tefillin on the higher part of the arm if necessary. The Gra thinks that you're yotze with that. I'm assuming that a bracha should not be recited in that case. Ches, orech ritzua shaliyad. How long does the ritzua of shaliyad have to be? Kadesh pakef et esro v'yikshar mimena kesher. V'tima tachat etzvah emtzai. So it has to be long enough to tie the tefillin shaliyad around the arm and to reach the middle finger. V'yikroch mimena aletzvah shlosha krichas v'yikshar. And that you could wrap it around three times around the middle finger like we do. Two around the first phalange and one around the middle one. V'yikshar. And that's how long it has to be. That's the minimum amount. And the minhag olam is to wrap around the forearm 6 or 7 times. Mishnah Berurah points out our minhag is 7 times. Depends how you count 7, because if you're wrapping the, like, Sardim or Chasidim, which you're wrapping out, so then there's a half. So does a first half count, or does the first half not count? Different minhagim by Ashkenazim, we're wrapping in, and so it's easier to count the 7. But okay. Continuing the Ramah, Ve'in l'kruha ritzua l'titura k'dei l'chazkal yad. He says it's inappropriate to make the ritzua go over the titura to keep it down, because the ritzua is not, the krichos aren't a mitzvah, and the tefillin's a mitzvah, and so maybe that could be a problem. However, if the tefillin are moving around, and that's what's going to keep it in place, the Mishnah Berurah says then you have to do that so that the tefillin stay in place. Sif test, minokom anachas tefillin shel rosh. Where do you put the tefillin shel rosh on? Me'atchalas ikari ha'aser mimitzcho ad sof ha'mokom shemocho shel tino rofes. It goes from the place where the hair starts to sprout from the forehead all the way back until the place where the foramen is on a young child, when the skull has not yet formed completely. There's a soft spot until the very end of that soft spot. The Mishnah Berurah is very particular about this, that they need to go in the right place. He says many people wear tefillin too low. Either they think that it's where the hair goes down to, not where the roots of the hair are, or people who've lost some hair are a little bit They misremember, perhaps, or a little bit too optimistic about where their hairline used to be, but it goes where the hairline was, where the hair comes from. And he says this is an Isser Daraita. He says that's a serious issue. Kol Baal Nefesh, a person should be ma'or people about this. It's very hard for a person to realize on their own, because they're not looking at their own forehead, where that is. And so it's one of those things that is helpful, that others should be ma'or for them. When he goes ad sof makom, he says the ma'abarta, the entire tefillin, should be in that space, not to go too far high, too far up either. The kesher tefillin of the shel rosh has to be not, it should be above the neck, but on the head. So, and the Mishnah Berurah says, certainly above the hairline, on the back hairline, and so it shouldn't be, it should be higher up. And he says, you shouldn't have tefillin that are too big, the ritzua shouldn't be too big on the shel rosh, because if it's too big, it's going to fall, and the ritzua won't be in the right place, and the tefillin won't be in the right place, and this could potentially be a problem. The tefillin, the bias of the tefillin, should be in the middle of the head. So it should be in between the eyes. In between the eyes doesn't mean physically in between the eyes. It means if you drew two lines up from the center of the eyes, it should be centered in that location. And so too, the knot in the back should be parallel, similarly in the middle. The kesher in the back of the tefillin should look like a dalit, and that should be facing out, so it could be seen. The Rama writes, you have to be careful that all the ksharim are staying in the right place. Yud Aleph. The black side of the ritzuah should be facing out, and they should not flip around. Bein shel yad, bein shel rosh, whether shel yad or shel rosh. Mishnah Berurah writes, and v'im nishapku midas chasidus ulehisanus aliftas betzaka. The Gemara takes this very seriously, that if they do flip around, a person should either fast that day or give tzedakah instead of a fast. And he says, but that's only that the ritzua that's necessary to hold the tefillin in place. So on the shel rosh, only that part which surrounds the head. On the shel yad, only that part that goes around the upper arm that holds it in place. But he takes it very, very, very seriously. The tefillin shel rosh, the ritzuos, the straps, should extend down in the front of a person until at least the stomach or below. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, maybe it seems like the right one should be a little bit longer than the left one. The Ben Ish Chai writes that the right one, the person wearing a belt, the right one, the person should slip through the bottom portion of the belt, where in the left one, the person should slip through the top portion of the belt. And then at the very end, the Shach quotes this as well. Not the Shach, but others quote this as well, that the edges of the ritzuah should go in one pocket. So they shouldn't be just flipping around, al pi kabbalah, and therefore the left one goes through the top of the belt, out through the bottom belt, and into the pocket, whereas the right one goes over the belt, through the bottom, flipping over through the top, and then into the pocket. So Gemara continues, Rocha v'ritzuah shel yad v'shel rosh, how wide did it have to be? Orach sa'or alafachos, at least the length of a barley, which is not so big. V'impiches mishir orach ha'ritzuah sebrachman, if the ritzuahs are not long or wide enough, yimeinu motzei acheres minichan kamoshe na'chim tza'acheres kashir, you can still wear them, because the ikar is the tefillin, the ktsitsa itself, and not the ritzuahs, and therefore you should put on whatever you can. Continuing, tefillin shel rosh tov liosim gluim v'nirim, the tefillin shel rosh, it's good for them to be exposed and visible. Aval talmid b'fnei rabo in derech legalut tefillin b'fanlo, but if a person standing in front of his rebbe, it's inappropriate to have his tefillin exposed in front of him, because the rebbe's wearing tefillin, he's proud of his keter Torah. A person shouldn't consider himself to be equal to him. The Rama writes, b'shel yad in lahakvidim gluim ha'muchusim, that only applies to shel rosh, not to shel yad, which is not necessarily considered to be a crown. He writes, below v'nir ali da'achso she'iminichim ele b'zman kriyas mo'ot tefillah, afilu talmud b'nei rabbi yochel agalos, afilu b'shel rosh, v'chin ha'minich shel yuzar. He says, nowadays we only wear tefillin during davening, and therefore it's not an issue in front of a rebbe. They do point out that since the Shulchan Aruch here writes, tov lios gluim v'nirim, that it's good for the inappropriate for the tefillin shel rosh to be exposed. There is a line in the Arizal where he says that tefillin shel rosh tzarich lios mechusim, that the tefillin shel rosh should be covered. So what does that mean, tzarich versus tov? And so there are various compromises made, which is the appropriate way to do. Seems pshat in the Shulchan Aruch that the tefillin shel rosh should be visible, and that certainly fulfills the pasuk of V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha, at which the Gemara refers to elut tefillin shel rosh, that when people see us wearing tefillin shel rosh, they will recognize the glory of Hashem, and by doing so, we're having the tefillin shel rosh exposed, we are able to fulfill that idea. Have a wonderful week.